interview with Spanish language broadcaster Univision. The president said Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu's approach to the war against Hamas is a, quote, mistake. The president went on to say that Israel should agree to a ceasefire and flood Gaza with humanitarian aid for the next 6 to 8 weeks. In consumer news, Ford recalling nearly 43,000 small SUVs because gasoline can leak from the fuel injectors onto hot engine surfaces, increasing the risk of fires. It covers certain Bronco Sport SUVs from the 2022 and 2023 model years, as well as Escape SUVs from 2022, all with 1.5-liter engines. This is SRN News.
Are you over 30 and putting off life insurance? It's time to get a quick quote from Ethos. A better, easier way to get term life insurance. All online with no medical exam. Answer a few health questions and you could be approved for up to $2 million. Isn't it worth 10 minutes to help protect your family's financial security? Ethos. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at checkethos.com. That's checkethos.com.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies supplements, changing the world one life at a time.
I'm 67 and I'm pretty active. I go out in the fields and work, and I notice the difference. I take it in the morning, but I've been taking it, you know, religiously. My body seems to like it.
Go to balanceofnature.com and get 35% off plus $10 off any additional sets as a preferred customer by using discount code BALANCE.
Weather is brought to you by the Johnny Adams Law Firm.
Your health and well-being can quickly be impacted by changing weather. The Johnny Adams Law Firm wants you to remain safe and be weather alert with the Rich Thomas Weather Network.
Rich Thomas Weather.
It's a day to stay weather aware, and our weather app will keep you on top of the action today. Flood watch is in effect, becoming windy today. High temperatures 78. Widespread rain and thunderstorms beginning in the afternoon and continuing into the evening and nighttime hours tonight. Locally excessive rainfall amounts. Severe weather threat this afternoon and tonight with all modes of severe weather. Tornadoes can't be ruled out. Low tonight 63. Tomorrow, some widely scattered leftover showers are possible. High near 70. A windy day. Nice weather returning Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with abundant sunshine. Will be near 80 by Saturday, low 80s Sunday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Webb Bobo with Capital Tractor. Make this spring your most productive yet with our package deal on Kubota's L2501 DT tractor with front loader, 5-foot cutter, and box blade, and 20-foot trailer at special spring savings. Kubota and Capital Tractor, Montgomery, Brundage, and Greenville.
From the Blue Water Broadcasting News Center, these are today's top stories. Governor Kay Ivey joined a crowd of parents and children gathered in Montgomery Tuesday to urge lawmakers to support legislation that protects families. This was a part of the Strolling Thunder rally where advocates focused on policies that guarantee Alabama babies have what they need to thrive. According to the latest CDC study, around 35-40% of Alabama's population is obese. State Representative Gwendolyn Gibbon believes this is a big problem in our state. Ever about solutions, Representative Gibbon has introduced a bill that makes weight discrimination in the workplace illegal. Our Montgomery Biscuits won their home opener at Riverwalk Stadium last night. The Butter and Blue shut out the Pensacola Blue Wahoos 9-0 to even their season record at 2-2. The six-game series with Pensacola continues tonight. First pitch, 6:35. This is the 20th season for Biscuits Baseball in Montgomery. From the Blue Water Broadcasting News Center, I'm Sky Mosley.
This hour of news and views is brought to you by our good friends at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. Visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368, an equal housing lender.
This is former Alabama Supreme Court Justice Glenn Murdoch. Alabama is a great place to live and work and raise our families because Alabamians are a good people of faith and traditional values. But a huge gambling bill in Montgomery would change our culture. Forever. Neon light casinos bringing more crime to our big cities and small towns. Highly addictive cell phone betting and the state selling the lie of lottery riches to the poor and most vulnerable. With all that's wrong in the world, This is no time to give up on our traditional values in Alabama. Call and ask your senator to be the leader you elected them to be, to stand strong and vote no on gambling, and keep the Alabama we know and love. Thank you.
Call your senator at 334-261-0800. 334-261-0800. 334-261-0800. Paid for by Alabama Eagle Forum, Box 130-757, Birmingham.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers. Montgomery's conversational radio show. It's News and Views on News Talk 93.1 FM. To join the conversation, call 272-9228.
Afternoon, as we're calling it online, Joey Clark Live. Appreciate all the love on the X platform. You know, it's a humble little talk show, and we started with like 5-10 people watching. I think we have 163 folks watching on X. So,
well, wonderful.
Appreciate the love of folks. You can go at the Joey Clark on X or Joey Clark Live on YouTube. And right across the desk from me, we have Montgomery City Councilman. Or counselor, is that how it's done?
I guess we go counselor, yeah. Which I also just learned recently that on our agendas is spelled with two L's. But it can be done either way. So I guess we use the old English way of saying counselor as a piece of useless information for your listeners.
Have we found any veins of aluminium? Can we figure this out here? So one news item that hit this week, and everybody's posting it, I think every publication here in the area posted this, is Chief Daryl Albert. I almost said the other guy before him. Daryl Albert has been placed on administrative leave. Mm-hmm. So what's your just reaction to this? What can you talk about?
Yeah, so I mean, for us, and obviously we've got a city council meeting coming up on Tuesday, you know, we were made aware that the chief had been placed on administrative leave. And, you know, obviously this is when the cell phone starts lighting up with everybody wanting to know. To this point, you know, the information that was put out in the press release is the amount of information that I've been told, you know, directly from the mayor's office. So we're still kind of in that process of this has been done. We've been told that they're in the interim, that we have an interim who's managing the department right now. But from a city council standpoint, especially because, you know, a lot of us, you know, our job is budgetary and kind of oversight. The management of personnel really does fall within the mayor's office and then through the department's chief of staff, stuff like that. So that's kind of who's operating this right now. Hopefully, as time goes on, we'll have a little bit more information that'll be shared with us as counselors, but also the general public as well, because, you know, we've been talking a lot about public safety during the campaign process and also since getting sworn in back in November. The last two out of the last three city council meetings, we've had public safety committee meetings ahead of our city council meetings where we've been sitting down talking with the leadership of the police department. Our big focus right now is not just recruitment, but is also retention. You know, there's been a lot of questions and thoughts and opinions about where we're at in terms of the numbers of people that are actually out there. We've had concerns from citizens. I think the last time I was on with you, a lot of the phone calls that were coming in were public safety related. And so it's obviously in totality something that we're really focused on. But then, of course, obviously the news of police chief being on administrative leave.
Well, no, let's talk more generally, because I think everybody's kind of being kept in the dark here. Everybody, including the media, myself included, has our speculations, but I can do that at other times. And honestly, there's only so much to say. Mm-hmm. So when you are in these public safety meetings and you're kind of looking at what the city needs, I know before being put on leave, there was a suggestion by the chief of a big pay raise, right?
Yeah. We had looked at, he had proposed a structure that would include 25% or up to 25% pay raise. We looked at a 15 to 20 and 25, and just kind of one of the realities is that, of course, that's exactly what we want to do. We want to make sure that we are paying at a competitive rate to retain and recruit the public safety personnel that we need to have here in the city of Montgomery. So the next part of that is, okay, great, where is that going to come from? Now, obviously, there's a natural, because our numbers are below what we've budgeted for this year, there's a natural kind of windfall of money that we have. But that won't cover it all. And so one of the challenges that we have is to look at the landscape and say, okay, what other areas can we generate this money from, whether it be on things like being stronger in our enforcement of business licensing and tax collection from businesses that are operating or either with or without a license in the city. Looking at things like in the past, you know, cities have viewed things like lodging taxes, gas taxes, tobacco taxes, alcohol taxes, and raising those numbers up. Now, obviously, that comes with that three-letter word that nobody really wants to talk about, but is a reality. And this is why I keep telling people it's so important for us to build a competitive city going forward that people want to live in. Because if we had 20,000 more citizens than we do right now, we'd be in a really good spot for dealing right with this issue. Maybe not even have been an issue because we would have already had the resources to pay these competitive salaries. So without that right now, we're going to have to look at some other areas, see where that can come from.
Yeah, and it really is a nationwide problem. I remember you saying after your trip to D.C., mm-hmm. I'm meeting with a lot of folks working in municipalities across the nation. This is a nationwide problem. But when we look at the crime, what type of crime is happening here in the city?
You know, so we get a lot of the, well, at least in my district, in District 7, you know, I get a lot of feedback, calls, messages about gunshots. Mm-hmm. I think the interesting thing about the gunshot problem and there's gun violence in Montgomery in general, honestly, a little bit sad, is that right now about 82%, 84% of gunshot victims in the city of Montgomery knew the person who was holding the gun. So obviously a lot of domestic, a lot of, you know, known parties to each other. So it's a lot of targeted gun violence. That doesn't mean that gunshots are not an unsettling thing to have to put your kids to sleep at night hearing every day. And I'm very well aware of that. The other things, the kind of the crime trends that we're seeing nationwide, but also here, it's the petty stuff, right? Mm. As people are feeling the economic burdens that are out there, we're seeing an increase in burglaries, in car people, you know, rummaging around in cars. And a lot of that is crime of opportunity, you know, crime of opportunity. And it is a thing and a reality in a 2024 world is we have to be diligent, right? We have to make sure that our cars are locked, our houses are locked, our sheds are closed at night, that we're not leaving things in the front yard that may be enticing to people. And you know, it's just a overall feeling of the pressure that people are under that are pushing them into desperation to do this. Obviously, another thing that we're seeing is packages off of...
Oh, yeah.
And so I tell people, you know, one of the things that we can definitely do is use the city's Star Watch system. About a month ago, we went out. They've expanded the Star Watch program. It's now got twice the capacity that it had previously. You can tie your house into that either as a direct feed only to be used, you know, to gather information about crimes that may have happened in the area. Or if you don't want the police tied into your home camera, you can register your camera so that if something happens to either your house or your neighbor's house, they know that they may be able to pull some information and some footage off of your camera. So that's a super important tool that we should be encouraging people to do. And tapping into as well. The other thing I think that we're just seeing, and one of the things I've requested is more increased presence about on our roads.
Hmm.
You know, I get complaints
like traffic
enforcement and stuff like that. And that type of stuff is always the toughest thing, right? Because it comes with people that get, you know, it's like, hey, we really need to have a bunch of police out here catching speeders. And then you get caught speeding and you're like, what the heck, man? But, you know, so we try and do some of that as well.
So it's frustrating to see that this is such a big problem. And in fact, there are a lot of problems that maybe are in the city that are part of the national trend. So is it just a matter of, I'll put it this angle. Is there a pretty good synergy in your short experience now being on the council between, say, the city, county, surrounding communities, even the state, with it being the state capital? Are people communicating how they should be?
I think they're communicating. I think one of the things we are hearing, at least I'm hearing from people that I talk to, the officers that I know on a more personal level, Montgomery's getting picked apart. And that's why we have to figure out a way to be competitive in our salaries. It is a fact that an urban policing setting is a different type of job than a more rural setting would be. And so when you are a Millbrook, a Prattville, a Auburn, you know, you can basically entice, especially if you have higher or similar pay grades, to officers to say, hey, you know, if you come work for us, right, you may be doing 30, 35 calls a shift. We're doing 10 or 12. And that's a tough thing in a dangerous world for people to kind of turn down at times. And I think that's one of the things that we have to do. We know that we have been working hard, and I, you know, applaud the efforts of the department over the years, working with, you know, their mayors to make sure they have the resources and tools that they need. This salary piece is really kind of the next step to make us competitive with the Hoovers, the Birminghams, the Huntsvilles, the Auburns of the world, because it just an urban setting for policing is a different beast, and we should be honest about that. So I hear all the time, much to my frustration, is that so-and-so is leaving and they're going to Wetumpka, or so-and-so is leaving and they're going to Prattville, or so-and-so is going to go work for the state troopers, because that means that they are finding, they're not going to Atlanta, and they're not going to out of state, and they're not going to Huntsville, and they're staying right in our backyard, but they're not working for us. And so this is a piece that we have been told will help to stop that from happening. So when I was running, something, you know, kind of the way that my view of this has shifted a little bit, we talked a lot about recruitment and the tools we need to have for recruitment. Now I've been told we don't just need recruitment, we need retention. And
right.
I had always thought of this as we need more officers. We also need more officers to stay. We need all of them to stay. We need to make sure that we're doing right by them to make it a competitive situation for them to stay here for.
Well, and I think, just to be blunt, it starts at the top. And I think leadership, again, we'll see what the leave is about in the fullness of time, so to speak. But I think it does come down to leadership. But kind of just following up on the communication question more generally.
Sure.
Do you think, like, you have a pretty good open relationship with your fellow members on the council, with the mayor's office? Do you think, or department heads, these things throughout the municipality, like, are we doing all right in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we are doing well in that regard. The reason I want to be able to do things like this, and I owe everybody a recap from the last city council meeting that I have not done yet, which I am definitely going to do, if not today, tomorrow, is continue to that communication. And on the 22nd of April, I'll be doing a quarterly meeting, a district meeting up at Hilltop Public House at 5:30 p.m. We'll be up there. And this is something that I think is an opportunity, not just for people from District 7, but people from all across the city, just to have that contact. I did two neighborhood association meetings last night, one the night before. And every time I go to those, I give my cell phone number out. And I say, y'all, I may not be able to get back to you, you know, immediately, but I promise I'm going to do everything I can to be as good as I can be about having that level of communication. I think people do want to be informed, and they want to know, and we need to come up with as many ways to give people the information that they need to have. So I think in general, we're doing okay. I think there's definitely some things that we could do better. Not just on the news stuff, but also just talking about the events and activities and happenings around the city.
Right.
We have a major storm system coming in today. You know, we want to make sure that we're providing information so that people are safe when these types of things happen. We have major news things that come through. We want to make sure we're upfront and transparent about those. And then there's just the ongoing things, you know, reminding people about the 311s and reminding them about, you know, different ordinances that may affect them on a long term. So I think we're doing good is the long-winded version of your,
sure,
or the short version of what you were asking, but obviously there's room for us to do a lot better.
Well, and it's just that's, you know, from, and this is before you were there, there are times where I think sometimes communication is not being done, and that would improve everything, I think, at the end of the day. Have you, and I'm still trying to do my due diligence behind the scenes, so I don't have a very strong opinion about this just yet, but it seems like at the state delegation level, there's a move to remove the Montgomery City County Personnel Board, to scrap it completely. Have you heard anything about this? What do you think of this?
Yeah, so we're having there's a couple of things, and honestly, we are reacting. So 618 that kind of governs the city. There are some things that if they're going to be changed in there, have to be done at the legislative level. one of the things that I know that the council is realizing we have to be a lot more involved in is the discussion about what changes to 618 to the way that we govern our city are done. Right now, we have a city and county personnel board, so we kind of oversee that jointly.
And the airport's thrown in there too, right?
And the airport has, and then, and you know, and so the idea that, you know, when I first came in, I was told by people that had been here for a long time that one of the things that is very important to the council and should remain very important to the council is our ability to appoint people to help oversee our airport authority. The personnel board is not, I don't appoint somebody to that personnel board. At least I don't believe so. I haven't been asked to. So some cities have HR departments, and I think that there's some validity to cities having the ability to, you know, oversee their own personnel directly. But we have a system in place that, to my knowledge and from what I've heard from the leadership of the city council, who I'm relying on heavily for information on this, is that they think that the way that it's operating right now is a positive way for us to be overseeing personnel, and that the idea that it would be joint with the county is something that has worked. Now, that doesn't mean that it's the right solution forever. Mm-hmm. And what I'm hoping for, and part of your communication, is I really haven't heard the argument about why it does need to be changed. I have heard arguments about why it needs to be preserved. And I think that's something that we could definitely get into. I also know that right now, when it comes to this legislative process, everybody's realizing right now on the council, we need a seat. We want to have a more of a seat at the table than seems to exist at this moment.
Yeah, as far as I know, it's actually gone through the House, and it's now on the Senate side, and I'll keep talking to folks about it.
Please.
And I guess you say, is CeCe now the president of the council?
He is. Okay. He is. Yeah, CeCe Calhoun, who's been with the council for many years, and had the opportunity to travel on that D.C. trip and spend some time with CeCe, and really appreciate his perspective. And he's, you'll see in our meetings, trying to do a good job of continuing the work of past city council presidents, but also kind of having his own way for overseeing our meetings, and is trying to communicate with us, especially the junior counselors, as much as he can.
I don't know CeCe very well, but I will say we just shared a few glances. Like, you're sitting right next to each other at a town hall, and just sharing those few glances, we didn't even need to say words. I'm like, I like this guy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We're reacting to the same things in the same way.
Yeah, and Glenn Pruitt is our pro tem, and I think they make a great leadership team. I'm pretty sure that they came in at the exact same time, and Martha Roby as well. So the three of them were all junior counselors at the same time. And as I said, myself, Fernette O'Reilly from District number 4, and Julie Turner Beard from District 2, the three of us being new, give the leadership a lot of credit. For questions like the one you just asked, these things come out and we say, hey, tell us about this, help us understand this, and you know, and CeCe's done a good job with doing that with us.
Well, I'm gonna hit a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about neighborhood revitalization. I think that's a big part of what can make the city hum even better.
For so sure.
We'll be right back, folks, more with Andrew Szymanski after this.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
This is your roving reporter, and today I am talking with an elk.
Hey man.
Mr. Elk, I was just wondering, what do elk do to take care of their money?
Well, like most smart folks, we call David Erdit.
You mean Alabama's most favorite asset preservationist?
That's him, man. We call him up at 334-279-7431 or 205-479-0839.
I see.
Yes, he is our preferred money man.
The money man with the money plan.
You've been paying attention.
Well, could you give us those numbers one more time?
334-279-7431 or 205-479-0839. And I just want to try to give you a heads up, man.
Oh, what's that?
I'm not an elk.
Not an elk, huh? Well, then, pray tell, what are you?
Knights of Columbus.
I am not even going to make a comment.
Well, the baby liked it.
Have you ever noticed how many car dealers start their commercials with,
"It's the best sale of the year. Push, pull, or drag your old vehicle in. No offer will be refused."
At Larry Puckett Chevrolet, they don't make outrageous claims and have all of that fast talk at the end of their commercials. They just offer great deals month in and month out. New cars and trucks are arriving daily. Plus, Larry Puckett has a great selection of pre-owned cars and trucks. All makes and models. If you're getting a refund from Uncle Sam, it could be your down payment. If you have an extra vehicle that you want to sell, bring it in for an instant cash offer. They're paying top dollar to keep their lot full. Remember, LP just doesn't stand for Larry Puckett. It stands for lowest prices in the River Region. Come to the dealer that lets the customers do the talking. Larry Puckett Chevrolet on Cobbs Ford Road in Prattville. Or look them up online at LarryPuckett.com.
Are you tired of the mainstream media's biased reporting? Do you want to stay informed on the news that really matters to you? Look no further than 1819 News. At 1819 News, we bring you the latest in Alabama news, politics, sports, culture, and more. We've assembled a team of journalists with Alabama values dedicated to the truth and the truth alone. Visit us at 1819news.com today. That's 1819news.com. Subscribe to our newsletter. Honest News, Alabama values.
This hour of news and views is brought to you by our good friends at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. Visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368, an equal housing lender.
Live, local talk, the River Region's most trusted voice for news and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Folks, we have Andrew Szymanski. He's a counselor, spelled the British way, here in our city, on the city council, District 7. And one big thing the city needs, to, you know, depending on the neighborhood, is revitalization of certain neighborhoods, some change up. But when we say that, neighborhood revitalization, let's put it down where the goats can get it, as some folks say around here.
Okay.
Let's give the 101 on what revitalization of our neighborhoods looks like.
Yeah. Well, first off, I think one of the things that we're talking about, too, is just like an overall culture change that we can have in this city, where we have a high functioning relationship between all aspects: the city council, the mayor's office, the county, the chamber, all of us working together to raise Montgomery up, as I keep saying, to be a competitive city. And that starts in our neighborhoods, right? So a couple of things that we're looking at addressing right now, and you've probably seen in the news, is that we're starting to figure out ways we can crack down on unlicensed businesses operating, and also on blighted properties that are keeping our home values low and making it less enticing for commercial entities to come in and want to invest in Montgomery. So one of the things that I think I was very excited about, and was able to join the mayor on that big press conference about the Fairview Avenue Road project, that big $9 million project. Projects like that seem like they are focused just on that kind of commercial corridor where you have these businesses right off the interstate. But then by cleaning all of that up, by not just having good roads and sidewalks, but good streetscapes, and then businesses being in there, the neighborhoods around those areas will naturally be risen as well. People that want to work in those businesses will live in the area. People will see that there is cleaner, less blight, less trash, hopefully less crime, areas that then you can get more business to invest in as well. And I think that one of the things that we kind of make assumptions about is that areas that don't have commercial activity are like dead neighborhoods or can't ever. And I've been really focused on the neighborhood of Normandale very recently, because Normandale, from I've been told from people that have grown up in Montgomery, was a thriving and vibrant neighborhood. There are a lot of wonderful people there. There's just a lot of commercial blight there, and we've got to figure out what we're going to do. I was in a really cool meeting very recently with some of the leadership of the city talking about affordable housing, and not just affordable housing in the terms of like a lower income type housing, but like talking about what does the service industry need? What do nurses, what do people that are young professionals, like what kind of housing are we seeing in places like Birmingham and in places like Mobile that they're really getting invested to try and take on that kind of middle income level worker? You know, interestingly, I think The stat I was given was that for every one white-collar job that you attract, it can attract up to four or five kind of middle-income jobs as well. And if you don't have housing opportunities for that. So while our neighborhoods may change over time, while we have to get comfortable with some zoning changes to allow for some more multifamily, we also have to see that that's kind of how the trend of cities is going. And that's something that we shouldn't be fighting against, something we need to be investing into.
Well, and it's, I don't think about it because I've lived here my whole life. So say when I go over to the Cloverdale area, sure. And it's just the area, but when I've driven through, Cloverdale, I'll just put it in those general terms, going towards like the Normandale area, like that whole getting to the west side. If I have somebody who's not from here in the car, people are kind of shocked by, look at that multi-million-dollar home, and now look at that shanty.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a lot of that, especially in older parts of Montgomery. And you're right about, I guess, these old strip centers.
Yep.
And so what is the remedy? Like, how do you, is it property by property, development by development?
Yeah, so my personal opinion is that it really does take a strategy of trying to figure out what areas will have the most impact when we try and invest in. Now, obviously, that Fairview corridor, because it has multiple factors in it, is a good one for us to be looking at. Obviously, businesses will do market analysis, right, when they go. And so what I'm trying to say is that as we encourage more people to live in our neighborhoods by making them a little bit safer, by putting, quality of life enhancements like pedestrian infrastructure, trails,
sure,
reinvesting in our parks and whatnot, then neighborhoods start raising up and then businesses see in the areas that that they may want to put their businesses into. The other thing that we have to do, quite honestly, is we just have to get some more teeth behind some of our blight abatement ordinances and be willing to do tough things. One of the things that some cities do is they do have vacancy taxes, right, where they do punish people for long-term vacancy, especially for blighted properties. We should be finding ways to encourage and trying to get more people in Montgomery to open up small businesses and to pair them with properties that maybe the city can acquire and put into a property bank, which I know is something that's being looked at right now. We don't have an active property bank right now. I know that's something that the mayor's office is trying to address. I was having a conversation about that just the other day. But those are some of the things that we can do to help connect people with these pieces of property that are just sitting out there. When you have really low property taxes in an area like we do, it is a lot easier for large commercial entities to hold on to properties without tenants inside them.
Now, did you meet Pete Buttigieg?
I did not. I did not meet Pete Buttigieg. When I was in D.C., I did hear him speak, and okay. I think one of the things that was really interesting about the Secretary of Transportation's kind of pitch to us is that in the new infrastructure bill, yes, it was a massive, massive bill. It's provided hundreds of millions of dollars. And one of the things that they said is that was kind of changing was rather than them going out and the federal government identifying, they asked states to say, here are the projects that we need. And it went from major infrastructure pieces like some of the bridges, roadways, thoroughfares that they've done to that big $36 million grant that came from Terry Sewell that is wonderful because the congresswoman realizes that by improving that section of the voting rights trail, we know what one of our biggest sales tax infusions has been. It's come from tourism.
Sure.
So not only are we going to do a road project, not only are we going to have a tourism partner, but now we're going to make an area that had not been that enticing to investors, very enticing to investors. That's what's so exciting about something like that. It takes that kind of multifaceted approach to really raise some of these areas that have been, strategically placed. That is right next to 65, but that big strip that's across from Carver High School has been emptied for almost as long as I've been in Montgomery.
Right. Well, and I need to be sold more on the whole EV idea, and it's not just particular to Montgomery. And I don't mean like, electric cars bad. I mean where the technology is, how you actually stand up infrastructure, all that stuff. But on the, better walkways, sidewalks, signage, beautification, for lack of a better word, I completely agree.
Yeah, I mean, it's pride too, right? I mean, you and I have this conversation every time we get done with one of these, and we talk about how we're here. We're doing what we can do to make Montgomery a good place for us to live. And there are a lot of people that are frustrated And I understand that. Back to your communication point. Like, they want to know that their government and that their power players in town are working well together to raise the community that they live in. They want to be comfortable. They want to live in vibrant neighborhoods. When I have the meeting on the 22nd, that's one of the things we're going to talk a lot about. And the reason why I want to be active in this role is because people need to hear that at least work is being done. And when they don't understand something, I've had plenty of people say, like, I just don't get why you're so into this trails thing. And I tell them, it's because I've seen it work in other places, right? I've seen the improvements to neighborhoods that it's created. I know why community connections are important. I know why making it easier for school children to get to school will make it easier for kids to walk through the front door and actually go to school, right?
Right.
So, you know, I think in all of this, as we look at neighborhoods, we're starting to have a much more broad, holistic approach to how we can raise neighborhoods across the city.
And again, the number is 272-9228. Forgive me, folks. Eddie's not here today. He claims he's working and making money. He better be.
He's selling a house.
He's probably selling a house or making some deal happen. I mean, his favorite movie is Glenn Ross.
Yeah.
Always be closing. Here's your leads, Eddie. But sometimes he just goes fishing. So there are days where I wonder. But let's go to line one. You're on there. Who's this?
What's up, Joey?
Hey, is this Black Caesar? Yeah, how you doing, sir?
Going on, brother. How y'all doing?
Doing all right.
You know, Joey, you never been here, but you know, Norman Breed Road at one time was considered the beginning of the east side of town.
Yep, right.
And my family moved, bought a house on Norman Bridge Road. You know what people started asking us? Are y'all rich? Like, no, you just want to live in the neighborhood I grew up in was a good neighborhood also, but you know how women are, they, you know.
Well, and I think it's a good lesson for everybody, Black Caesar. Just look up, say, like the Lightning Route, and then keep looking at how the city's expanded from downtown and the river. And yeah, what used to be east is not so much anymore. That sprawl is not the greatest thing in the world.
Sure.
But what are you going to do about it? That's the way it is for now, and you got to take steps. But you're right. The nice part, or the so-called nice part of town, keeps moving, which also means there's opportunity to actually make every part of the city hum.
Yeah, but we're seeing across the country, look, there's trends. Montgomery's not impervious to trends. Right. And so you had this period in the 80s and 90s where people got into suburbs, they started pushing away. And now we're in this era of kind of new urbanism where people are wanting to get back towards city centers. It's where, you know, kind of that heartbeat is, where it's the easiest place for us to kind of identify and invest in. The Main Street announcement that the mayor made, excuse me, not so long ago, was wonderful, because that is a real great public-private partner that's going to help with revitalization efforts and also some expansion of our downtown footprint. But then areas just like that, Norman Bridge, Normandale, I go to Greg's Breakfast Bar over there. I love it over there. And just...
Oh, yeah, I agree.
There's so many great buildings that are not occupied that I can just... My brain goes crazy. I can see this and there and that.
Here's the thing, you know, in big urban cities, you know, people live downtown. For example, Joey, take our favorite show, Seinfeld.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they walk out the door and they just walk to a restaurant, you know, and everything. And here we have to almost drive 5 miles or so to go somewhere that we can just want to sit down and be comfortable and eat. They live in the downtown area. Our houses are out in the rural, almost outside of the city. And we don't live downtown, but I think we're trying to get to that point. It looks like people are moving downtown and living in those apartments downtown. Here they're kind of high, but that's like what's going on right now.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And I think it's a good trend to go back in that direction. You know, some folks called up worried about, you know, some sort of dystopian 15-minute city where everything's technology-based. And so I don't think that's happening in Montgomery anytime soon. Just, again, how the city has grown and it's sprawled out. But the idea of, say, making certain areas walkable, like when you go to places where, like, Greenville or Chattanooga, sure, or
just Boston, even though the tunnel and the traffic, there's a whole other conversation. But to be able to walk around a space and there's so many options of where to go is it's a really worthwhile thing.
You've got to have residential density to do that. And one of the things I think the Main Street program is going to do, and some of these discussions that we're having about what, you know, affordable housing really means, is going to encourage and find ways to leverage, whether it be bonds, whether it be investment opportunities, to create more residential density in the downtown area and in the areas immediately surrounding that. When you have that, when you have a customer base, as a somebody who has a small business,
right?
I know that if you open up an apartment building with 50 apartments across the street from my coffee shop, if I'm doing a good job at making coffee, I'm going to have more customers. And that's going to make the next person say, you know what, I think two coffee shops could live in this area. And then you get a second coffee shop. And that's, you know, I don't want to sound like it's simple, because the mechanisms are very complex. But I think we as cities identify that as a key thing.
Joey, you were just in Boston, right?
Yes.
How far did you walk before you realized you were maybe 5 miles from where you were staying?
They stayed more a little outside the city, so we had to take the tunnel every time we went into the city. But no, we walked. It was a very walkable city. I was kind of amazed at how quickly we were able to get around.
And I wish I had told you before you left, but the area where JFK proposed to Jacqueline Onassis, it's up there. It's in that area.
Okay.
And it's a very beautiful spot. I wish I would have told you about it so you can go see it before you left.
Well, I mostly drank and ate and wasn't necessarily seeing the sights.
My kind of guy.
Yeah, I thought that State of the Union response was great. That's how much I drank. I appreciate it, Black Caesar. Let's go to line 3. You're on the air. Who's this?
I think it's me.
Yes, sir. What's your name?
This is Urbanite.
Hey, Urbanite. How you doing?
How's it going?
Yeah, here's a simple question. Before all the peace and love broke out during the George Floyd time, Target had committed to developing inner city neighborhoods with shopping centers. Has anybody been in contact with Target?
I have not been in contact with Target.
They'd be a perfect fit for Normandale.
That's a great, it goes really to making sure that we can always hope and wish we have to do what we need to do to make sure that those areas have the customer base, have safe neighborhoods, of course. But Target, that'd be great. I know Amanda would be really pumped if there was a Target right down the road from our house.
Yeah, but once again, all the peace and love broke out, and I think they lost their ass, but we're moving on, right?
Sure. It's one way to put it.
Yeah.
They're not holding anybody accountable, right? So they can write it off on their tax.
We don't need to talk about all the other cities' problems in this nation. Let's pick Minneapolis. It's really,
as a side note, I mean, if you looked at what was happening around the country at that time and what didn't happen here in Montgomery, which was the large-scale looting, the large the protests and violence that was happening in a lot of city centers, heck, it was happening right up in Birmingham. I know a couple places, friends of mine that had a CrossFit gym in the downtown area of Birmingham completely destroyed. We didn't have that here in Montgomery, which I think is something people say, well, Montgomery's too small. There's 200,000 people here and many more in the surrounding area. There was an opportunity for that to happen, and it didn't happen here. Our police were a part of that conversation at the time, and I commend everybody. I was not part of the city council, but everybody in leadership that was here, because that did not happen here. So, you know, when Montgomery is a unique place in a lot of ways, and sometimes in a good way.
Sometimes.
Do you know if there was an uptick in business at the water park during the air show? Around the air show time?
Shoot, I mean, can only imagine so. I know I had some friends that were out there, and let me tell you, I was out there on the Thursday beforehand. We had a welcoming event for the Blue Angels and the military coming into town. The Whitewater was a great, great setup for it, and I hope there was a lot of people out there. And I hope a lot of people go out there this weekend. I will be out there. This is one of those fun times where my day job with the Scenic River Trail crosses over with events here in the city. We'll be set up as part of the Olympic Trials, talking about Alabama's waterways. We've got the people that you see on your television at the Summer Olympics in Paris. They're going to earn their right to go there by coming through Montgomery. And that's like a really unique thing within the first year of Montgomery Whitewater to be open for the Olympic trials to be out there. But they're also not stopping. They're continuing their free concert series on Saturdays. So I hope people get out there for that as well. I'll definitely be out there for that. I was out there for see a local band last time that they had that. And yeah, I hope it was packed. And I heard that like on the Saturday, there was almost 110,000 people at the air show. And again, just shows you we've got a lot of unique things here that people can tap into.
I appreciate it, Urbanite.
All right, thank you.
And pretty much out of time here, and we always do this, if folks do want to contact you direct, get in touch with you, whether they saw something they like or they've got an idea.
Yeah, well, again, I would really encourage anybody that's interested at Hilltop Public House on February 22nd, which is a Monday at 5:30 p.m. I'll be having...
February?
April.
April 22nd.
You see...
Days flying
terrible.
By.
Yeah. April 22nd, Monday, 5:30 p.m. We're just going to be having a community discussion. Going to try and have these regularly on a quarterly basis throughout the year. It's not restricted to people from District 7, so people can come out, meet me at that. People can always call, email me, text. One thing that I've been telling people in the district is that if there's something that you see that you think, you know, have a question about, or want to have having some trouble navigating 311, please send it to me. Send me a picture, a little description, the address where the issue is, and I'll try and help you get into it. We'll be announcing some paving project work that's going to come up pretty soon, and some other things. So hopefully see people on the 22nd, and yeah, all the information, social media, Instagram, Facebook, all the fun things.
Well, I appreciate the time as always, Andrew.
Always, Joey. I really appreciate it.
And we got to hit this break, but first, this part of the program brought to you by Alabama Home Mortgage. And at Alabama Home Mortgage, Kim Williams, Madeline Cannon, the lovely Madeline, who was here yesterday, they can help you whether you're looking to buy, especially if you're a first-time home buyer, or refi. And, you know, they've got great deals, especially for veterans. They're VA Home Loan Certified there at Alabama Home Mortgage. It means they know the latest. You know, some veterans don't know they've earned these benefits through their service. And I'm telling you, veterans, this is the best game in town. You're talking up to 100% refinancing of your home, or no money down when you're buying a property. But even if you're not a veteran, what Kim and Madeline can do is sit down with you, get to understand your goals in owning a home or refinancing. There'll be a lot of reasons why. Don't just look at the national headlines, and you know, the economic news can often be doom and gloom. You got to think about your own economy, your own hearth and home, so to speak. And Kim and Madeline are ready to help you in that regard. Call them today at 567-4223. That's 567-4223. Or you can visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. There is a difference in mortgage companies. Let Kim and Madeline prove that to you today. NMLS number 1586368, an equal housing lender. We'll be right back.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Hey there, folks. It's your trusted real estate professionals, Hannah Grantham and Eddie Bader, here with an exciting announcement. We have made the move to Forest Meadows Homes and Lands. That means we're now even more equipped to serve you and your real estate needs.
That's right. Whether you're buying or selling, working with us ensures that you're in the best hands. Personalized service, expert advice, and now more options and opportunities.
So why wait? Let's make your real estate dreams a reality. Give me, Hannah Grantham, a call at 334-368-6358.
Or me, Eddie Bader, 334-322-0662, and let's get you moving.
When your tax refund comes, put it on the floor and walk on it. Revitalize the look and feel of your home with new floors from Prattville Carpet. With faster and better service than the big box stores and luxury vinyl planks starting as low as $4.99 per square foot, you'll enjoy that tax refund turned flooring every single day.
Hi, I'm Ray Bowles from Prattville Carpet. If you're looking for waterproof carpet, hardwood, laminate, vinyl plank, or ceramic tile, call us today for your free measurement.
Dial 285-8117 or visit PrattvilleCarpet.com.
Prattville Carpet, we're more than just carpet.
Now you can add the power of digital advertising to the number one reach of radio. Let Blue Water's 20 years of local advertising and marketing success show you how. Grow your business with a complete suite of digital solutions combined with the reach of the most listened to radio group in the River Region. Call us or go to BlueWaterBroadcasting.com to find out how we can increase your return on investment. Blue Water Broadcasting, local folks helping local business.
This hour of News and Views is brought to you by our good friends at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. Visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368.
an equal housing lender.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network, brought to you by Montgomery Paint and Body. From a little fender bender to total body repair, MPB will fix it good as new, maybe better. For over 35 years, the Turner family has been getting you back on the road. Call 279-7325.
Rich Thomas Weather.
It's a day to stay weather aware, and our weather app will keep you on top of the action today. Flood watch is in effect. Becoming windy today. High temperatures 78. Widespread rain and thunderstorms beginning in the afternoon and continuing into the evening and nighttime hours tonight. Locally excessive rainfall amounts. Severe weather threat this afternoon and tonight with all modes of severe weather. Tornadoes can't be ruled out. Low tonight 63. Tomorrow some widely scattered leftover showers are possible. High near 70. A windy day. Nice weather returning Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with abundant sunshine. Will be near 80 by Saturday, low 80s Sunday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Web Bobo with Capital Tractor. The Z700 series is the star of Kubota's line of zero-turn mowers, and our special spring pricing makes it easier than ever to take one home today. Powering Alabama, Kubota and Capital Tractor, Montgomery, Brundage, and Greenville.
Medical Outreach Ministries is a free healthcare clinic providing primary and specialty care for uninsured, low-income adults in our area. MOM sees almost 1,000 patients annually who are attended to by volunteers, including physicians, nurses, and pharmacists. Please call 334-281-8008 or visit momclinic.org to learn how you might qualify for our services, volunteer, or donate to this vital community service.
This hour of news and views is brought to you by our good friends at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. Visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368, an equal housing lender.
The River Region's News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1, WACV. News Talk 93.1.
And views in the afternoon as we're going it online, Joey Clark Live. 334-272-9228. If you want to hop in, I mean, anywhere you want to go, folks. Honestly, I'm feeling relaxed today. But also, you know, I can get worked up, especially when I see the latest economic numbers that have come out. And there are a lot of reasons to be worried about, well, oil prices in particular going up. It could be geopolitical things like, you know, refineries in Russia getting blown up by Ukrainian drones. It could be OPEC, you know, playing around with how much oil they're pumping out of the ground. The BRICS nations bucking the so-called Western system. And it could also have to do with we printed so much money, especially during the COVID years. So, I'm going to turn to my usual expert on this. This is Peter St. Ange. And, well, today his video is about $100 a barrel for oil. Let's see what Peter has to say. Get ready for $100 oil.
$100 oil could be coming thanks to the Federal Reserve. That would put a gallon of gasoline well into $4 territory, which could send Joe Biden scampering off to the retirement home he should have gone a few years ago. The warning comes from Bloomberg, who puts it on geopolitical tensions from OPEC output cuts to Ukrainian drone strikes on Russian refineries to Mexico slashing exports to feed a very hungry domestic oil market. These have already taken oil to $91 last week before it fell back. The problem is the drones are just the spark. The gasoline is over 30 major central banks, pretty much all of them, are set to slash interest rates in the second half of 2024 in a coordinated push led by the global interest rate mothership, the Federal Reserve. For background, the Fed effectively runs central bank policy for pretty much the entire world. When the Fed hikes, it gives cover for other central banks to hike. When the Fed cuts, they either have to join in or watch their currency collapse like the Japanese yen, which lost fully a third of its value in just the past 3 years. So to say 30 central banks is really just to say the Fed wants to cut. The problem is it is well known that interest rate cuts drive inflation, setting off a tissue fire of borrowing and spending that drives up the price of everything. In fact, that's the whole basis of modern central banking, to use the interest rate to control inflation. Cut rates to get a little more inflation, hike when you made too much. So toss those 30 central banks into the geopolitical games, and it is off to the races. In theory, of course, Joe Biden could just drain the rest of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which he half-drained to buy the last election. But that would only go so far if generalized inflation is taking off. Plus, it would mean our ambulances and our military don't have any gasoline in an actual crisis, which was kind of the point of having a Strategic Petroleum Reserve. So why is the Fed cutting rates and driving inflation up? That's been the mystery of the year. I mentioned in a recent video how inflation's actually been rising every month since October. So on an annualized basis, CPI went from 0.9% last October to 1.9% in November, 2.8% in December, 3.5% in January, and 5.4% on an annualized basis in February.
Damn.
The latest number.
Damn.
Normally, that would mean more rate hikes because it would mean the Fed has not done enough to fight inflation. Instead, here we are with a coordinated Fed-led global campaign by 30 central banks to slash interest rates. One possible explanation, of course, is that they're doing it for Joe because Joe Biden needs that tissue fire to get some numbers on the board just until the election. If that's what's really happening, it means we could be in for some serious inflation numbers. In fact, 30 countries worth. So what's next? Brought to you by Unchained.com. My biggest fear these past couple years is that we are repeating the disaster of the 1970s, when the Fed financed enough government spending to get us to 10% inflation, then they cut rates too soon and gave inflation a second wind that lasted 5 years, delivering double-digit unemployment that was only ended with the worst series of recessions since the Great Depression. If the Fed follows that script again, we are looking at a repeat of 2022, but this time it could last for years. Okay, we'll be watching. See you next time.
Again, that is Peter St. Ange, and one of these days, I promise, I'll get the man on himself live. And so we can talk about, in particular, what he's talking about, a replay of the 70s. We can get into that in detail and where he thinks the trends are going and where we're going to end up as a nation. But hey, we got a great sponsor here of the program on the line, Michael Cohen. Hey, Michael, how you doing today?
Hey, Joey, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm enjoying life. How's it going at Cohen's?
It's going great. You know, it's actually a little darker outside than it was when we had an eclipse.
Yeah, I guess the cloud cover has us. It's one of those days where you want to stay inside and watch a movie.
And I see all the schools are closing, but we're not smart enough in retail. We're still here.
But if folks want to get by the showroom, I would suggest they try out. We haven't talked about this in a second. You still got those massage chairs there on the showroom floor?
Yes, sir. I think we've got four or five of them on display, all different models. And they do one incredible job.
And so these, do full body, right?
Yeah. They all start basically at your feet, and then they work their way up to your shoulders. And as you move up from different levels of the chairs, you know, they just give you more and more of each area. You know, it's just the top of the line one. You sit in there and you get heat on your legs. You get it on your lower back, and you get it on your neck. You know, it starts at the balls of your feet, and it squeezes and massages, and then it does your calves, and it does your hamstrings. It works its way up. It also does your arms and your hands. And it's got a little deal that rolls up and down your back. You can also get it into zero gravity, where it takes all the pressure off your lower back. You can Bluetooth your phone to it so you can listen to your favorite music. It's got the light therapy built into it, which can either energize you or relax you. They do a wonderful job. And you can move them around because they've got little wheels that you can kind of pick up the feet part. And then you can roll it like a wheelbarrow and move it throughout your house without having to have three big guys to do it for you.
Beautiful. And I'd imagine, we don't talk about this as often as maybe we should. You have financing options there, Cohen's, right?
We do. We have a couple of different options.